you know, when he came up to try to get the fruit. And God said that he wanted us to go back to that. So I want you to go back with us to Mark chapter 11, verses 12.
I think the biggest thing that I, in some of the moments of the takeaway of last week was, you know, how, like she said, like the tree tried to fake Jesus out. And can I just tell you, like, Jesus ain't going to be faked out. He ain't going to be faked out. And the biggest thing I heard what was said was the if Jesus was to eat of your fruit, could he eat of your tree? It looks like it produces, but is it producing? And that was a huge challenge to, like, for everybody to look in their soul and be like, wow, if Jesus walked up to this tree, is he able to eat of the fruit? Does everything that I'm doing reflect with what it really is? Is it him? Is it within him? Am I bearing fruit? Or do I look good? Because let's just be real about it. The devil knows the scripture probably more than you do. When he's up there during temptations and Jesus is at his weakest point of his fast and he's quoting scripture to Jesus and saying all this stuff. And so, you know, the problem is at times, like what I've said so many times about the devil, man, he's just a counterfeit. He's always trying to offer you something that Christ already created, already has. And it's always a counterfeit. But times, what I've noticed, there's trees representing people, but there's no fruit. And so what you see is a bunch of people calling themselves Christians and reading scripture and quoting stuff, but there's no fruit around it. Does that make sense, church? And so that's what we have to look at for ourselves. If I am a Christian, a full devoted follower of Christ, then I need to be producing fruit. I need to be producing fruit in myself. So I love that what we were talking about with there is more in you and talking about the inside of us and what God is trying to do. And if Christ is trying to eat of your tree, do you have the fruit to produce to give it to him?
It's so good. And I love that he told us to go back to the fig tree. So I want to read that to you one more time in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. Again, it says, on the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. Yeah. For it was not the season for figs. And he said to it, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard it. And today we want to talk to you about part two. There is more in you, insecurity. Insecurity. And God began to speak to us and he said, there is more in you, but it's only your own insecurities that keep you from truly producing. See, the fig tree wanted to paint a picture of production. And we will always try to paint a picture of production so no one can see our insecurities. It's easy to try to show something, you know, show the best, hide the rest. And whether we like it or not, many of us have insecurities. Can I just, does the worship team real quick, are you okay if we put you on blast this morning just for a second, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Some of you may not noticed it, but there were a few times in that first song that we jacked that up.
Hijack.
Now, there were places where I was off with signals. There was a moment, Tyree got off for a second. Now, when we're up there and things can happen like that, insecurity can set in and make you feel like, oh, crap. We just messed up, and how do we get it back together? You know what I'm saying? How do I get my track back on so that the fruit that God's producing from here can be heard? And as you can see, we didn't let that stop us. Actually, it fueled the fire to be like, oh no, that ain't gonna happen, devil. We're gonna let this go. It's not about us anyways. It's not about the insecurity that I have. Oh, man, what are they going to think? They got off. Now everybody's thinking that we're off on our timing. Or how can we get back on? Or Misi accidentally sang out on the wrong part. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, and not that I'm just trying to put them on. They don't care for the fact of that. We know that when we were up here, I don't care if we get it wrong as long as I get where I'm at in the presence of God right.
It's good.
Right?
So good.
And that's just like the tree. See, this fig tree, it was trying to show a place of production. Yeah. And it really wanted to prove to God that it had it right.
That's good.
And all underneath it, it was really insecure because it didn't produce what it said it had. And instead of just being a tree that was open to God to say, I need you, it's not that time or that season, maybe I'm not mature enough to get there quite yet. Oh, no, I'm going to show out that it don't matter what insecurities I have. I'm going to use my pride and the things that I have to control the situation and show I have something that I don't. Mm. How many of you can be honest in this room and say, I have insecurities?
Oh, wow. No.
I have insecurities. See, the tree tried to cover up the insecurities because in reality, the tree wasn't mature enough to produce full-on fruit at that season. See, if you understand, it goes back and it says, for it was not the season for figs. It wasn't the season. And you know what? I've come to find out that sometimes the season we're in, we want to get out of so early that we prematurely skip to the next season that we are not mature enough to handle. Mm. And so what happens is, because we're insecure that people might see that we're weak and broken people.
Yeah.
That we're in need of a savior also. That what happens is we move on and we're like, oh, God's got that. It's all good. Everything's all good. No big deal. I've got this going on and that going on. But what's really going on? You can't hurry to go to the next place when you aren't mature enough producing fruit in the season you're in. This was the season of budding, and it didn't even bud. That's a problem. There's a problem. How many of you have noticed lately in the trees when you pass by them, they are budding already? That's why half of us can't breathe.
Jacked up.
But the thing about it is when you see a tree budding, what does it mean? That fruit and leaf things is getting ready to come. But it's not ready yet, right? It's not ready yet. Can you say with me, I'm not ready yet? I'm not ready yet. And that's okay. But the problem is our insecurities try to take us out of the place we're not ready for to get us jumped ahead because, man, it's really not good if people honestly saw where we were right at this moment.
We see that a lot when people are very insecure, they start doing other things. They act out a different way. Because of their own insecurities, so they'll act out a different way to take the focus and put it on you instead of focusing on themselves. And it's a crazy thing because if you can just own up to it, and I'll say it as a pastor, when you deal with certain things in your own life, that the prayer is across the planet that pastors would just be honest and open and transparent about maybe what they are insecure about or what they're struggling with in their lives, because if you can't lead that way and if you're always just trying to be the best and then you're in the background doing nothing and acting a fool, that's where it gets shaky as a church. And the reality is God just, listen, if you heard what was being sung today, it was the same thing. God, just take it all away. Like, until all that's left is you, help me. Help me. Help me get to that place, God, you've desired. And no matter what it looks like, because we've said it before, and God's like, you know, Moses, I need you. What? Like, you don't even realize where I buried him, which he already knew. I mean, I killed a man and I ran for 40 years, and then you're going to call me and tell me I need you to go back and tell a people and tell Pharaoh to let my people go and just tell him that I am sent you? I am who? I am what? I am that I am. I'm insecure. I can't even talk. I stutter. There's no way. And so hiding it in a different way, instead of owning up to it and know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, I can do this. And I think that's the problem. And, you know, even for myself a long time ago, when I was in speech class at North High School, I dropped out. I was afraid to talk in front of people. I was afraid to get in front of people. If I won an award for playing basketball or I won for whatever these things were in sports, I didn't like my name. I didn't like my life. Brandon Norman. I just thought, oh, my God, they're looking at me. And I would, like, cower and hunch over, and then I couldn't get in front of people. I couldn't talk. And I felt like, well, that's the end of that. I can't do that. So I'm going to have to, like, hide somewhere and do a job where, like, I don't have to deal with people. Because I'm afraid, I'm insecure that I don't know how to add up. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. Like, I literally dropped out of classes that caused me to be in front of people. Yeah. But there's a God that knows greater than what we know, that looks through our insecurity and says, I can still call you and use you to do something great. And so it's amazing, like, when we deal with insecurity, it's amazing what God can do with your insecurity.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I have wrote down, God is not afraid of your insecurities. He just cares that you are in security with him.
Man.
God is not afraid of your insecurities. He just cares that you are in security with him.
Yeah. In him.
Just in him.
Yeah.
We can blame everything we're not doing on anyone and anything else, but insecurities are just that. Yeah. They are issues that are rooted from within.
That's good.
You can blame anybody or anything on why you're not doing what you should be doing right now that God has called you to or wants you to do or the gifts he's given you. You can blame anybody on why you're not doing them. Mm. Or you can blame everybody else on why things aren't happening. But the fact of it is that insecurities come from within, period. It's you. It's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Insecure. The definition of insecure. Not firmly fixed. Unable to give way and break. Not confident or assured. Uncertain and anxious. A person who constantly doubts their own abilities, unprotected, and vulnerable. I didn't even say that word right. That's good. Talk about insecurities when you sit up here and you mess up words, and you know you all play it back just to see where we messed up the words so you can laugh.
I laugh now.
I laugh now, but we still laugh later. It's what it is. You know what I'm saying? That's a vulnerable. Just,
vulnerable.
You know, you got to say it out in the syllables. Vulnerable. There we go. And you get it. You know what I'm saying?
That always freaks me out. Side note. I'll be preparing to preach. And you know there's words in the Bible and some of these names I can't even sound out. I'm like, I'll be in my office trying to, like, how to speak for dummies. You know, like those books. Speak Bible for dummies. And it feels that way. And you feel the pressure. Like when you go up to read it, like, we'll call him Bob. That's his name today. Bob, he was.
John. John 1, John 2,
but,
John 3.
But funny in that, but here's the reality of that. When you get in that mode, you get this, like, you feel like hot flashes are hitting your life, and all this stuff starts happening. And then if you are not secure insecure here, secured inside, then you would question your calling to God, because you know you're going to have to read this stuff. Like, it's that deep, and even sometimes that simple, where people will bypass it. Because if you don't know that, remember when you was in class and your teacher looked at you and said, I need you to read. I didn't pre-read so I can understand the words better. And you talk about insecurity. Can I tell a weird story? You might want to hear it.
No.
Okay. I'll tell it tomorrow.
I don't know what you were wanting, so I just thought I'd.
So I was reading a story. The teacher pointed me out, and this is a bad one. Man, this is bad. And I was already nervous about talking because I felt like I wasn't a good communicator, and I felt like I wasn't a good speaker. And so I'm in class, and I struggled because we moved from Terre Haute, and we moved from there to Ohio, and then we moved to Arizona, and then we moved back to Terre Haute. And so there was a gap of missing stuff in learning. I had to get into learning disability classes because I could not grasp certain things with math at that time, or even reading, because the levels started changing. Every time I went to a different state, it was not connecting. So there's that insecurity, like, oh, he's an LD, you know, how everybody makes fun of that. And I even made fun of it. Like, I was the one in it and making fun of myself. But the reality was there was a learning disability. And so I was nervous and afraid to think that I could even talk and speak. And so I'm in a health class, and they're like, okay, Brandon, I need you to read chapter 3. And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm in front of the whole class. Now, it wasn't even in that kind of classroom where, like, it's assisted reading, and I'm reading this story. And you know how come on is, like, abbreviated? Okay. So I'm reading it, and I didn't read it like that. And I said something, something, and I said semen. C and comma mom instead of come on. And I just said it as semen. And I didn't miss a beat, and the teacher stopped me and said, whoa, what did you just say? And my face got real red, and I was like, oh, I feel like I got to go to the bathroom right now. And this insecurity, because then I'm like, oh, please don't let the teacher call on me, because I was saying, because I didn't, as I read it out loud wrong. And all of a sudden, you don't know sometimes where it comes from, because then you're like, okay, there's this insecurity. I don't want to be in this classroom. I found a way to go to the bathroom or go to the nurse's station. I'm like, everybody's reading. So I'm not reading today. I can't do this. And so I'm saying all this ignorant stuff to make a simple point, is that, like, your insecurity could almost bury you.
That's right.
It could bury you. And I'm just putting myself on blast when I was younger, because I struggled with that. That stuff with reading and different things, and even speaking and trying to figure that out. And then God's funny to say he thinks he needs me to speak. And I'm like, God, you got the wrong Brandon. I'll joke around and have a blast, and like, I care for people, but yeah, you lost that one. You must have talking about somebody else. and God's like, I get you have insecurity, son. But I'm bigger than your insecurity. I am your security. When I am in him, I am secure in him. And so I had to realize, as I even started doing ministry and all of that, that I had to overcome that. And I'm telling you, it almost took me out. Just in the simple things of doing different jobs or things with construction and stuff, because I didn't know, like at the very beginning, I didn't even know how to read a tape measure at all. Nobody taught me. I bounced around, and so when I'm working jobs, and they're like, you can't read a tape measure? I'm like, nobody taught me. I have no idea. Now, thank God for YouTube now and all that stuff, and obviously knowing now how to read it, but when I was younger, no. And so what did I do? I kept pushing myself backwards. I kept putting myself back in the shadows, and I would come out when it would only, like, not like make a big impact, but I did something and I went back, because I was so insecure and in my own self that I felt like I could not be used or do anything for God or anybody else, because I was just going to mess it up. I can't even read. Come on, I said semen. You know what I mean? Like, it was so crazy in that moment. And, you know, everybody's laughing and I was laughing, but inside I was like, oh God, I'm an idiot. and you just have to keep going. But if you let it define you, you won't do anything in life.
Well,
anyway,
because when our...
I'm just throwing that out there, because that was a weird deal.
The fact of it is when our insecurities become our true identity, we lack the ability to produce full fruit. When our insecurities become our identity, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. When all your insecurities become your identity, to where all that is I can't, then you lack the ability to produce full fruit. You know, the tree was probably like, well, I can't produce fruit, but I'll produce leaves. I'll still look good. I'll look good. I'll look like the rest of the trees in the orchard. And what's crazy, it was the only one that had produced at that time. You know, and that's kind of like that over, you know, what is it? Over-promising and under-production, you know, or it that saying that goes that way is that you're trying to promise God something and you're not producing anything. And God's trying to say, I just want more of you so I can produce in you, in the security of me, who I am, so that you can do what I need for me, so I can do what I need to do through you, and so I can do for you. Do you see what I'm saying? God's wanting to do all those things in your life. And he began to tell me that I will only grow what I identify with. I will only grow what I identify with. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going to go to an orange tree and ask for apples. And I'm not going to go to an apple tree and ask for oranges. You know what I'm saying? And some of those trees can't even produce in the same places in the same seasons because they weren't made for that place.
Yeah.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Our insecurities, you will only produce insecurity if that's all that you are wrapped up in. It will only keep producing insecurity. And guess what? You will plant yourself in a field of others with insecurity.
Mm.
Right? And so what happens is, what would happen to an apple tree that's here out at Ditzler's Orchard trying to be planted where the orange trees are out in California? It's not going to work the same. Why? Because it's not the right soil. It's not the right ground. It's not the right seasons for it. It doesn't produce the same, right?
It's like we wish that we could get certain fruit when we lived in Arizona. Obviously, we got grapefruits in our our yard. But we were like, man, I wish we could plant these. And it was only like Midwest plants.
But I think people think like that. Oh, I wish I had their talent. And I wish I had that. And I wish I had that. And what happens is you uproot your tree and you begin to plant yourself in a field that you were never even created to be in.
Man.
And God's trying to tell you, I want to produce in you more, but you have to be able to plant yourself in the season and in the place that I have chosen for you. I didn't ask you if you liked it. I didn't ask you if you had friends there. I didn't ask you if you made a lot of money there. I didn't ask you if you felt good in that season. I didn't ask you, but I know what you need in that season, and I will be the more so you can produce fruit where you are.
Amen.
But many times we're the ones who need to stop and say, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you, God. I didn't ask you in this season where I am.
Yeah.
I didn't care to know what you wanted for me in this season. I just went.
I knew best.
I knew best. And I didn't want you or anybody else to see my insecurities. So I wanted to do what I wanted to do.
That's powerful.
You can't hide anything from God. And God said this, he said, I'm about to come look in your tree. Hmm. I'm about to come look in your tree. I'd rather allow God to see my insecurities and try to mature the fruit in me than keep trying to prove to him and everyone else that I'm something I'm not.
So
I'd rather allow God to see my insecurities and mature me for the place of faith that I'm going to than everybody else seeing that I'm something I'm not. Hiding behind your insecurities is more work than laying them bare before God. Do you realize how much effort you have to spend hiding your insecurities and the things that you don't want everybody else to know? It's a lot of work. You ever tried to just keep a secret for a surprise party? There are some people you just don't tell because they can't do it.
It's a surprise to them when they show up.
Yep. But there are others. Have you ever known something and it's a secret and you know it? It's not a bad secret. I'm not talking about a lie. Some of you may know a lie and it should be told. But the fact of it is it's just a secret, you know? Like right now, Misi and Steven, they're getting ready to have a baby, right?
You didn't? For real? If you didn't know, that could be almost offensive.
Surprise. It's like, no secret.
How do you, what do you think's going on here?
We're going to go on past that fact right there. So,
Surprise.
So if they knew, so say they knew what they were having. They said they didn't want to find out what they were having, right?
Boy.
So, dude.
Okay, I'm sorry.
For real.
Tell your story.
You good?
Nope.
Okay. So here we go. One more time. So they're trying to keep it and keep it from themselves.
Yeah.
What happens? You know what I'm saying? But what if Misi accidentally looked over and was like, oh, you know? What if she had to, like, keep that secret? That would be awful. You know what I'm saying? And that's hard to try to keep that inside of you. And that takes a lot of work to not tell somebody. And guess what it does? It causes a lot of stress and anxiety and frustration and irritation and lashing out at people just all because you're holding something that is supposed to be good. And now you're like, well, I guess I'll tell you now. You know what I'm saying? It's like, What was supposed to be a good thing, do you understand what I'm saying? It's the same thing with our insecurities. What they do is we try to hide behind them. Yep. And what God wants to do is take the ground of your insecurity and produce something good out of it.
Yes.
But instead, you're trying to hide it. Now you're creating anxiety, frustration, depression, irritation with people, lashing out, doing things that you're supposed to be doing, and proving that you're something that you're not is so much work. But if you just laid it bare before God and was like, it is what it is. This is all I am, and this is what I have. And this is all I can offer. And God says, finally, good place to start.
Yeah.
Good place to start. God also said, go back to the garden. So I want to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And it says, at that moment, their eyes were opened. And they suddenly felt shame and their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. Hmm. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And then the Lord God called to man, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? The Lord God asked, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to? Do you realize that in the garden is the place that insecurity began because they realized their nakedness, their vulnerabilities, the things that everybody else could see? And they decided to take what? The fig leaves and sew them and put them on themselves. Now, God does things. We talked about it last week, but there is purpose. There's so much more. Go back to it and look. In your word, there's reasons that he goes back to certain things. He talked about the fig leaf and how the fig tree would be cursed and withered and die if it didn't produce fruit. That's in John 15 from last week.
Yep.
But now, if you look at it, the tree that was out there hid its fruit. It had no fruit, so it was hiding. It was hiding its insecurities. And what did Adam and Eve do? They took the leaves and hid their lack of production in their lives. And what's crazy about it is I read the fig leaf texture. I looked it up. And it says they grow in an alternate pattern. And the top of the leaf is rough, like sandpaper.
Mm.
While the bottom of the leaf has small, stiff hairs. The edge of the leaf has serrated edges that point slightly forward. So it's like sandpaper on one side. The other side, it's like prickly hairs that are poking you all the time. And the other side, on the edges of the leaf, they're serrated to where it could cut you. And I heard God say, when we cover up our insecurities and hide behind them, we end up rubbing ourselves raw emotionally and spiritually. Then everything begins to become prickly and irritating to us. And if we're not careful, it'll cut us to our core. It'll cut us to our core. When the core of who we are is not secure in who he is, it takes us to a place of living broken lives in bondage to our own fears. When the core of who we are is not secure in who he is, it takes us to a place living broken lives in bondage to our own fears. What did they say? We heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid. That was the first time fear ever came in anybody's life. Why? Because they were naked, they were vulnerable, and they were insecure because of sin and because lack of fruit at this time, because they could not connect to the vine dresser. They couldn't connect to God.
Wow.
Your insecurity is your greatest enemy. Do you know that? Your insecurities are your greatest enemy. Think not. Why do you think that Satan fell from heaven? He was insecure in just being an angel and doing what God created him to do. And so what did he do? He tried to hide his insecurities behind his pride. And then he wanted to be something that he was not. And God wasn't having it. So if God wasn't having it with the angels, why do you think God's going to have it with you? If God didn't do it for saints. He was the lead worshiper. I mean, he had it all going on. It says he had pipes and lyres and all kinds of things built into him to make the most joyful, beautiful sound for God. Yet he was so insecure in who he was that his pride caused him to want to be God, because what he was created to be wasn't good enough. Do you realize your insecurities of who God created you are a smack in the face to him as a creator? You're looking at God and telling him, I'm not good enough, so you're not good enough because you didn't do your job. I'm not good enough. Do you know God cringes every time that comes out of your mouth? I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. I can't do this. Some of the most common insecurities, and I want to read them to you.
Before you say it, you're right on that, because a lot of times, whether somebody asks somebody to do something or whatever the case is, it's always the negative thing of what they're lacking, what they can't do, and hide behind it. And there's always a deeper story to it. But it's always like people's first response a lot of times is these negative things in their own personal life. I mean, a lot of times people, like, if they've been in a broken relationship with somebody and then there's someone in there to actually truly love them, you don't know how to take that because of what has happened to you in the past. So you put up this wall because then you live that way. And the problem we see at times is that if you're not given that to the Lord, you're going to take that into your next relationship and you're going to cut somebody that never caused you to bleed. And then that becomes a problem. And then the next relationship is the same as the other one, because I've got so much of insecurity. Now I got what I'm dressed in is hurting you and they're bleeding. And I'm like, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Yep. Because of you got to give, this is what we've told teenagers. We say this, like, if you're, that stuff happens, give some space, get to the Lord, give it to the Lord, let him do some healing in your life before you think your next healing is your next boo. Mm-hmm. Because what we do is we don't want to be alone. I don't want to be alone. And those and there's people that bounce from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship, is never satisfied. And they're still trying to fulfill something, but it goes to a root of an insecurity.
Yeah. Well, there's some very common insecurities. Yeah. And I just want to kind of read some off. And you'll be able to identify with some of them probably. I'm not smart enough. Nope. I don't have enough friends. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have enough money. I'm too old. I don't have the perfect life. I have done too much to be forgiven. I'm not worthy. I don't know how to fix things. I'm not skilled in technology. I can't talk to people like they do. I don't know how to pray. And it goes on and on and on. The list continues going on. I've heard people say, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. Do you realize that almost every single one of your insecurities start with I. And what they will produce is nothing, yeah, but more insecurity. Yeah. The only reason Moses was able to be used in his insecurity was because he placed his insecurities before the great I am. The only way your insecurities will produce anything is when they are laid bare before the great I am. And that's when you put yourself in security with him. When you quit looking at your insecurities and place them into the security of Jesus Christ. Okay. That's when there's more in you happens, because you begin to produce fruit. If you are not producing fruit in the season you are, check yourself and your insecurities and lay down your pride and lay it before God and say, it's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. It's really okay. We have to get rooted in insecurity. And there's four things that insecurity causes. What does insecurity do or cause?
Yeah.
Number one, insecurity causes distraction with self.
Yeah.
Insecurity gums up our ability to do what God made us to do. Love him and love others. One of our biggest sayings we've always said is loving God, loving people, serving God, serving people. When we become so insecure with what we're doing, it mucks up the waters, and then it keeps us from loving people, from serving people, and from loving God and serving God, because we don't even love ourselves. when our minds are distracted by our awkward thoughts of how we look in the clothes we're wearing or how much smarter the person we're talking to is, we become self-conscious.
This happens a lot.
It's happened to me when I'm up here. That's why a lot of times you may look at me and you're like, she don't dress up a whole lot. That's why I don't dress up a whole lot. Because let me tell you what, if I was in a dress doing what I was doing just now, I'd probably be mooning everybody who was behind me. I want to wear something that I am comfortable enough in to praise God and know I'm not dictated by what I'm wearing to be able to give him praise. If you want to dress up, hallelujah, praise God, that's you. And you know what? And I will tell you, you look good because you do. But for me, it creates insecurity when I am up here and I begin to pull on my clothes or I begin to think about what I'm wearing or are the lights shining through or is my slip showing. When I start thinking about that, guess what happens? I'm self-conscious and I lose my mind on what God's doing here.
Man.
I'm just putting me on blast. I'm just letting you know. You know
it's
what I'm saying?
It's real.
Like, it's the truth. We have to get to a place in our insecurities to where we ask God, is there anything in myself today that's going to distract me from coming to you? Because if it is, if it's even what I'm wearing, the things that I'm doing, the things that I'm listening to, I ask that you point it out to me, set it aside so that I can focus on you. Self-conscious.
You got to be ready for that, though. If you're going to ask that question, some people get real upset when that stuff gets exposed.
Yeah. Like, it's tough. You know what I'm saying?
Like, this is what needs fixed. And you're like, because sometimes we don't know because we're so used to it at times of the insecurities we have in our own personal lives that we don't know how to live without them.
Well, we grew up this way. This is just us. We grew up in the way that if you didn't wear certain things and certain stuff to church and different stuff, then you weren't qualified to worship God.
Or even to come into sanctuary.
And listen, this is what I'm saying. If you want to wear a suit, wear it. If you want to wear a dress, wear it. If you want to wear, you know what I'm saying?
Whatever
your jeans, wear it. You know, I mean, I'm at a stage, though, in my life, I'm like, at least make yourself presentable because I see so many people in the world anymore. We just look like the Walmart sideshow where we're just walking around, you know, in all our PJs and everything else all the time because we can't even get ready. I mean, now, come on. That's another way of being distracted with self because you're just lazy.
Where's my Uggs?
Just get around. You know what I'm saying? Make yourself presentable. But I've come to the fact that I was so worried because one of my pastor's wife used to pull me into the bathroom every time I got done singing worship and tell me what she didn't like about what I was wearing and how it distracted my worship.
And that's true because I would look for her to go sit down when we were done. We would go out into the out there and come back in. This was in a different place.
Even to the point, and she actually took me shopping one day and picked out clothes for me to wear.
Yeah. And I'm like, where is Jen? And and the door opens, and she comes. I was like, babe, what? And then the pastor's wife comes out of the bathroom, too. I'm like, what are y'all doing in that dang bathroom? But I didn't know because I saw her face. And, you know, when you're with somebody long enough, they ain't got to say one word. You look at their face. You know what's up. You're like, oh. And then just broken, like, never adding up. And then it became an insecurity.
Well, even told.
Because it's almost like trying to help, but there was a right way to. You know what I'm
but
saying?
That's but that's not it. When you're at a point where you're even told, you know, when I used to color my hair all crazy and do things, and I changed my hair, and even told, if you would have colored your hair like that when we had our interview, I wouldn't have hired you. Huh? What? Talk about trying to bring insecurity into yourself and be self-conscious because you have to be up here and be, you know, proven enough to everybody else to wear. Do they like my outfit? Do they like what I'm wearing? Do they like this? Do they? Listen, I don't care if you like my clothes. All I care is that I'm presentable enough to the King and I'm presentable enough. As long as I ain't hanging out flaunting things and things aren't going, then praise God, I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to worship him and I'm going to get even more undignified than this. And if I take my shoes off and my socks off, if I want to do what I want to be comfortable to praise the King so that nothing is distracting me, I'm going to do it. And if you want to come up here in your dress clothes and your suit clothes and you want to do the same by me, I'll hold your hand and I'll do the same with you because it doesn't distract me.
Yeah. One thing I did notice is, you know, it did hurt and she had an opportunity to do two things. One, lash out and be frustrated and be vocal or go talk. I can't believe. Did you go talk to a friend or talk to somebody else what they didn't agree with that somebody in leadership did, and go yak their mouth to somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. I just don't agree with that. I can't believe they would do that. I mean, seriously, she had me in a bathroom, but she never did one of those things. One thing she did do is say, God, search my heart, please. Search my heart. Search my heart. And because you have to bring it before the king, because if you do not bring it before the king, you're going to just look in the mirror of your frustrations, and self is going to just enrage in you. And then there's that whole thing. I feel insecure. Every time I stand up, is she going to keep bringing me in? Is he going to say something again? Or is somebody else going to say something again? What, you know, and it's like, did you, I remember that one time we got, because you have rips in your jeans, and we got kicked off the worship team. And mine had more because I remember I was running late, and I put my pants on and put my foot right through my jeans. And I was like, and then we led worship, and we were sweating to death and just like what happened here. And after service, they called us into the office and said, you're going to be asked to step down. You didn't represent the pastors well. I said, I was worshiping Jesus, not him. And they said, but you didn't look presentable. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And we just looked at ourselves and like, what the heck is going on? And then when God told me to start a church, I said, heck no. There ain't no dang way. Church folk are meaner than non-Christian people. I've been hurt more by church folk than anybody else. You want to see a scar? I'll show you one. And then there's that insecurity stuff starts trying to set in. And you got to still know this. What did God call you to do? If anything needs to change, it's because I'm laying on the operating table with the great physician that can divide between bone and marrow. I'm with him. He's making the changes. He's pruning. Not you. You don't prune.
But you're talking about being hurt by others. And we didn't bring that up to like, oh, no. I don't need you to feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for me.
No. It's just to show you where we are. Like, it's real.
I'm trying
like
to tell you that
happen.
Things in your life tried to build insecurities.
Absolutely.
And there can be major things that come on to keep you from what you were meant to be doing. If we really wanted to, all those things that were said could have kept us from being here today.
Absolutely.
From leading worship, leading a church, because we
Absolutely.
Knew. And you said something about church people can be mean. And it is the truth that a lot of times we're hurting each other's. Why do you think God talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Only because they were the ones who condemned him to death, not the Roman leaders.
Man.
You want to know why? Because they hid by their insecurity of what they did not understand.
Yeah.
And when we hide underneath our insecurities of what we don't understand, then we try to overproduce for the things that we do, and it messes things up. And what happens is we become a lot of leafy Christians with no fruit. And I believe that God's coming to the bride, and he's trying to tell you, I'm looking at your tree, and I need to know you're producing fruit, because I'm tired of hearing about the bride lashing out at each other or lashing out in their own insecurities. I need to know that you are fruit producers and bearers of light in my name. And if I do not find fruit in your tree, you will be cut from the vine.
Mm.
That's scripture, pure scripture.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that when I read about becoming self-conscious, it said being self-conscious is actually being conscious of yourself. Being self-conscious is actually being conscious of yourself. We're not loving others when we are obsessing with ourselves.
Wow.
Of what we've got going on.
Yeah.
Number two, distraction, insecurity causes dissatisfaction with God. Insecurity is often grumbling for better manna. Do you hear me? Insecurity is often grumbling for better manna. We don't like that God has given us what we need. We want what we want. We want the extra. We want the more before going through the season of the more he has for us here. It's grumbling about what you're not getting. We aren't satisfied with what we have. Money, position, appearance, personality. Insecurity causes dissatisfaction with self and is often based off our own dissatisfaction with God. When we are dissatisfied with self, we're dissatisfied with God. Insecurity not only insults our value, but insults God's wisdom. Insecurity not only insults God's value, but insults God's wisdom. Number three, justification by works. Insecurity causes justification by works. Insecurity shows that we believe that our justification is based upon our own accomplishments, what we can do. Everything needs to be bigger and better. We need a bigger church, a better degree, more impressive kids, better homes, bigger bank accounts. That's the type of more God's trying to get us to be set free from. He wants us to realize that there's so much more in his presence than all the natural fleshly things that are out there.
It's true.
Our security placed in these things is a direct rival to our security in God. When we place our security in the things of this world, it rivals the security that we have in God. We have to realize that it is his, we have to realize that it is his worth in me he is counting worthy. It's his worth in me he is counting worthy, not my works for him. It's his worth in me that he is counting worthy, not my works for him.
That's good.
To get past your insecurity, you have to realize that you aren't enough. To get past your insecurity, you have to come to a place where you realize that you are not enough. And that's okay, because he's more than enough. Not looking at yourself like, I'm not enough, I'm Debbie Downer, wah, 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 all the time. That's not it. But to realize, you know what, look, I'm really not enough. I have weaknesses and things that are going on. And there are times that I will think that I am not worthy, but he saw me worthy, and he is more than enough. And he, if he said it's good, then it's good. I have to come to that point because he's the more.
Yeah.
Number four.
Powerful.
Insecurity causes justification from others. Insecurity reveals that we long for justification before people more than before God.
Man.
We long justification before people more than we do before God. And that's why, listen to me. That's why God, I believe he was trying to tell you that he wanted to speak to you, that your minds are so busy, 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 frantic to and fro, because you're looking for an ear to hear everything that you've got going on, because you'd rather hear them justify what's going on in you than God. And God is trying to justify you by what he wants to do in you, not by the things you can do, not by how good you are at what you do, not by the things that you lack, but because he just is good enough and it doesn't matter anything else. God doesn't care whether you rent or you own what you have. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what house you have. He doesn't care what kind of car you have. I mean, he will bless you. That's getting to the very end. Why do you think that we left "there is more for you" at the end? Because we want the more. But we don't want to go through the part of releasing insecurities so we can get to that part, or releasing ourselves and realizing that he is more to get the blessings of God, let alone asking something from us and then letting him do something through us. We want more. And God wants to let you know that the sad thing is that you care because they care, or you think they care. Do you know most of the time people don't care as much as you really think they do? I got too much of my own stuff going on to think about all your problems all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Have you ever heard people say something to you and they're like, well, I don't like, or you should try this new, you know, or this new fad, or this new style, or this new drink. They say.
Who's they?
Who's they? Who's they?
He said that was.
It'd be different if, you know, my kids came up to me and they're like, hey, there's this new drink place you should really try out because dad took us there. We tried it. It's really good. Hey, there's this new drink place in town. They say it's good. Who's they? Who really drank there? And what if I don't like what they like? Who's they? Like, do you see what I'm saying? Same thing with church. Oh, they say this is a good church to go. Or they say this is.
It's not that good. they say?
Who's they in your lives who are dictating all the things that God wants to do in you? Do you know that we spend so much time wrapped up in they that we miss out on the more of him?
True.
Because we're so insecure with who we are. We can't even make up our own minds. How many of you have been around somebody who just cannot make a decision? It drives me nutso.
Okay, so I got a reason for that, because sometimes I just don't know what to eat, you know? Like, hush your mouth. So, like, I need the cow goes moo and just put all our food on there and just whatever it spins on is what we're going to eat, you know?
No, it's not even in just that. Hey, what do you think about this? Yeah, I get it.
You know, like you got some, I get your deal with certain things you can't.
You're trying to be sensitive. I get that. But there are just times.
Well, Sensi pot's broke, though.
It is. You need to get your crock pot back on.
Is anybody else in here dealing with, like, what we going to eat? Raise your hand, because I don't feel like I'm alone on that. Okay, wait. Okay.
I deal with it. Wait, are there any moms in the room who deal with it sometimes because you're like, I'm sick of deciding what we eat all the time. Somebody else figure it out. Or guess what? You don't eat. Right? That's just what it is. You ever get that way? Right.
Dear Lord.
I'm praying for you right now.
Dear Lord.
So, even with...
Like for dinner? Is that what you're talking about?
No. I'm trying to get somewhere else past you. I mean, if you want to stick on you and your insecurities, we can. So, some of my children will come. Mom, what do you think?
We only have three of the sum of mine.
What do you think? What do you think, Mom? How's my outfit look? Should I wear these shoes with this? What do you think about this? What do you think about that? How does this look with that? I promise you, they will change their clothes like 50 times and come back in. And I'm like, dude, just get dressed.
I don't care.
If you like it, as long as you ain't hanging out, it's not too short, it's not cut low, you're covered, and you look okay, and you don't look like a slob, I'm good with it. I may not like what you have on. Do I like your boots? No. Do I like those shoes? No. Would I wear them? Never. But the fact of it is, you like it. It's cute on you. Do you like it? Yeah. We are so insecure in being stable and satisfied with who we are that we have spent too much time wasting asking everybody else to find our security.
Who cares what people think? Who cares? I told the girls this too. I'm like, style's what you make it. Why are you so worried about what other people think you got on? Just
I ask them all the time. Do I get up in the morning and ask you, hey, what should I wear?
I'm gonna call somebody. Hey, bro. What do you think I should wear today?
I just make up my mind. And if I don't like it, I'll put something else on. Every once in a while, like, what does this look okay? You know, like this, because I'm a little unsure. And then I just look back in and I'm like, if I don't like it, even though you said you liked it, I'm still going to change. You know what I'm saying? Because that's personality. But what I'm trying to say is God is wanting to try to get you to a place of just full identity with him so that your insecurities don't control you, so that your decisions are firm and grounded in Christ. Okay? Our insecurities and inadequacies are the greatest ground for the growth in Christ. They're the greatest ground. He makes you adequate, but only when you're secure in him. Yeah. And I want to give you the definition of security, and we're getting ready to land this bird, okay? Security definition. Man, it's hot up here. Whew.
What are we eating for lunch?
I don't know.
Okay.
Whatever you make. So... I made the decision. You decide. So, security definition. The state of being or feeling secure. Freedom from fear, anxiety, danger, and doubt. It's the state of safety or certainty. The state of safety or certainty. And Paul knew this, and I want to read it to you in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 14 in the message. I want to read it to you. I am so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate. Isn't he the same Paul that said, he gave me a thorn in my flesh and a weakness, and I asked him 3 times to take it away, and he wouldn't take it away, so I realized that in my weakness, he is strong. Right? The same guy who cried out for his inadequacies to be taken away, and it's the same guy who says, I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate to do his work. Did we not just talk about the vine and the vine dresser? He went out on a limb. He went out on a limb, you know, to entrusting me with this ministry. The only credentials I brought to it were violence and witch hunts and arrogance. But I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know who I was doing it against. Grace mixed with faith and love poured over me and into me, and all because of Jesus Christ. Come on. I'm so grateful to Christ Jesus for making me adequate. And what he's saying is I had so many insecurities, so many things that I could say made me unworthy, but his grace and his mercy covered me. They made me whole. There is more in you as a worker and a fruit bearer for Christ. And I want to read you something that I read out of a book by Oswald Chambers, and it's called The Worker. And it says this: the test of a worker is that he knows he has been enabled by the Lord. He's been enabled by the Lord Jesus. Therefore, he works and learns to do it better all the time. The realization that my Lord has enabled me to be a better worker keeps me strong enough never to be weak. Conscious, obtrusive weakness is natural, unthankful strength. I'm going to say that again. Conscious, obtrusive weakness is natural, unthankful strength. It means I refuse to be made strong by him. When I say I am too weak means I am too strong. And whenever I say I can't, just means that I won't. When Jesus Christ enables me, I am omnipotently strong all the time. Paul talks in paradoxes. For when I am weak, then I am strong. In Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, back to the fig tree, it says this: and he told the parable. A man had a fig tree planted in this vine. A man had a fig tree planted in the vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I have come seeking fruit on this tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground? And he answered, sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and put manure on it. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. And I directly, by the Spirit of the Lord, heard him say, tell them, I'm giving you one more year. I'm giving you one more year. I'm giving you one more year. See, I've come to the vineyard as the vine dresser, and I've looked. And Jesus Christ, he's been interceding on your behalf, saying, give me one more year. I'm going to put manure on him. That sounds fun. Because I'm sure a lot of you feel like you've already got a lot of crap piled on you in your life. Why would you want more? And why would you want to be dug out anyways just to have more piled on you? Right? That's great. You want me to grow, and I feel like I'm suffocating in dung. I'm over it. And he came again and he said, let me dig around it, put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. You have one more year, God said. One more year. What will you produce for me? What will you let me dig out of your insecurities? Will you let me pile on my nourishment? It's okay to be vulnerable before me. You may feel like I keep piling on manure and dung all around you and in you, but I'm fortifying you with what you need. He said, you must break free from your insecurities and come in security with me. See, he's piling on. He wants to dig out. Many good gardeners, or anybody who works in fields, knows that manure has probably the most nutrients in it that is going to allow the plant to grow and do what it needs to do. And it smells awful, right? Did you ever think that maybe God allowed that and the smell to be awful so that nothing in the season that it's growing in its immaturity could come and affect it? That it could keep it from hindering that? Because ain't nobody wants to come around something when it smells awful. And especially like poop. Right? It's just the truth. But I want to ask you, are you going to be okay enough with your insecurities to smell like poop? He said, what? Think about it. Am I okay to really allow God to do something in me that incense right now in my life may not smell so good, but I know that He is literally fortifying me with nutrients. He's given me another chance. He's given me one more year to ask, will you just produce fruit for me? Or will I come around the next season and you still lack maturity and you have nothing and I have to cut you?
They say that manure increases the water holding capacity for like sandy ground, sandy soil, that it holds the water when it's put into the place to for gardening or trees or whatever the case is. It holds water better. And even though it feels like, you know, the stuff you're going through, this big manure pile, like God's still trying to teach and still trying to nurture you and still trying to get you to a place to bear fruit. And it's not fun at that moment. It's not fun when the gardener is digging up into that area where you think your roots are deep. Oh, no, hold on, because what happens when it digs up? It exposes. And so you got to be careful with not cutting off the gardener. And this happens a lot. People, don't want to dig that up, so I don't want to be messed with, and then you're not going to get what you truly need. I love that scripture in the Bible that talks about how the trees, that God uproots trees and plants them in His garden. The great gardener knows how to do that. There is a process to taking roots and going deep into the soil. But when you do it yourself, it causes problems. Lots of problems. It creates a mess and you're not getting the right nutrients. And then you feel like you're starving. You've choked yourself out. God's trying to, the gardener, here He is, trying to pull out some of the stuff that doesn't belong. And let me stick some of that. And I'm like, what the heck? Why are you putting this on me? This doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel good. See, we want end results. We want full fruit. We want full leaf. We want all of it. But what about that planting thing when they just cover you up and you feel so not worthy, lost, broken? When is this going to break open and start coming through the ground and start to do the process?
Isn't it most of the time in manure when it's put on that's where decomposers live? And I believe that Christ is trying to say that I'm trying to pile on you the things of nourishment, but also the decomposers of your flesh.
Oh, I hate to say it.
Because I want to decompose your insecurities. I need to put things on you that are going to decompose anything that is not of me. That means take it away, eradicates it, gets it gone so that you can truly break through that ground and grow what is in you. There are gifts in you that are being hidden by your insecurities.
Yeah. In a weird way, it's saying that God will use your crap for your growth.
Yep.
I mean, just being point blank right in the spot right here. Or, God will use that for your growth.
Or if you choose not to, you'll suffocate in it. Yeah. You'll suffocate in your own stuff.
Yeah.
You'll suffocate the life out of it. And as I was praying to end, I was asking God how to end this. And I kept saying, hearing Him say, just go back to the garden. Go back to the garden. Go back to the garden. And the reason that I believe God is saying that is because it was in the garden where insecurity and fears were birthed. That's where the seeds of insecurity were birthed in Adam and Eve. And ever since that moment, it has just continued to move and move and move, where it tried to cause separation between you and God. And God's bringing us back to a place to say, there's so much more in you, and I need you to get back to that garden place, back to that state, so I can replant you, so I can reproduce you, so that I can pile on you the nutrients that you need, so that flesh can decompose, and so that you can really, truly be fruit bearers. Do you realize that we're coming to the last days, and we need to be able to produce fruit? And as I did that, God laid it on my heart to have Daniel and Nevaeh and Tyree come up and sing. And they're going to sing in a minute. They lead worship in the back for the youth. And he wants to come into communion with you. But what I want you to do is I need everybody to focus, because God has a word for you today. And this isn't to be taken lightly. And whether you need to close your eyes, you need to just get yourself in, I need you to listen. And then as soon as I'm done, they're going to start this song and the altars will be open. Because guess what? I can't dig out your insecurities for you. And I could pray for you for them, but until you choose to release them and lay them bare before God, I can't do it. And I honestly want to tell you, too often when we try to intercede in that way of fixing somebody else's problems, we're only putting our own crap onto their problems, because we're not the Spirit of God. We aren't the Holy Spirit. We're not the fixer. We can pray for somebody and say, God, I pray that they release that to you and do what they need to. Your will be done in their lives. But they are responsible for that. You are responsible. So I want you to just get focused in. God said, I'm taking you back to the garden. Back to the place where I can nourish the roots of who you are with my presence. Did I not say you would be like the fig tree, an evidence of who I am and my coming? Spring is near and knocking at the door, as I am longing to produce within you more. 3 days will come and 3 days will pass, as the day of spring is coming upon you fast. You will either enter into a season of producing or one of lack. It's up to you and your choosing. I cannot express the importance of your fruit production in this year. Oh, child, do you not see it? My coming is near. For how many more signs do you need for you to truly surrender and take heed? I long for you more than our Sunday walks, but for a lifetime of residence in me and our garden talks. What you do in these next 3 days is of vital importance. It's less about works, but where your roots and heart take up residence. It's about laying bare the ground of your insecurities and placing yourself in the assurance and security of me. In the next 3 days, I, the vine dresser, will be assessing your tree. What will I find and what will I see? I am done addressing your excuses and your complaints. Can't you just come to me with unrestraint? There is so much more for you, so much more in you. Oh, child, there is so much more. What you do in this season matters, because the time is coming when time will be no more, and the time will come where I shut the door. Just 3 days can make a difference to what you produce in 1 year. So he who has an ear to listen, I plead, let him hear.
No space between us. as easy to trust. Oh.
You are closer, closer than my skin.
Hallelujah. To be in have already approved of me. This is where I'm meant to be. It's me and you me. And I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. And here's where the dead things come back to living. And I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living. And I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living. And I feel my heart beating again. Feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend.
They're going to continue to sing this, and if you want to stay at the altars, you are welcome. God's doing something, and we don't want to break that in you. You're welcome to go if you want to go, sign up, if you want to sign up to help out. But we don't want to interrupt God because he's just digging in the ground and it's okay. Amen. I'm going to have them just go back again to that bridge and we're going to sing it. Guess what, guys? Wednesday is the first day of spring. God said we have 3 days. Whatever you do in this 3 days to prepare your ground for the spring of producing your fruit matters. It matters. 3 days. I don't care if you fast. I don't care what it is. That's up to you. But just know that whatever in these next 3 days, what are you doing to allow him to prepare your ground? Have a great day. We love you. Spend some time with him. Amen.
And this is where I'm meant to be. Me and you and you and me. And I don't have to prove a thing. Already approved of me.
This is where I'm meant to be,
Jesus.
Me and you and you and me. And I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. This is where I'm meant to be. Me and you and you and me. And I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. This is where I'm meant to be. Me and you and you and me. And I don't have to prove a thing. You've already approved of me. And here's where the dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living. I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living. And I feel my heart beating again. Feels so good to know you. feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. And you are closer, closer than my skin. You are in the air I'm breathing in. Here's where the dead things come back to living, and I feel my heart beating again. Feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. It feels so good to know you are my friend. And you are closer, closer than my skin. Back to living, and I feel my heart beating again. Feels so good to know you are my friend.
You are,
and you are closer, closer than my skin. You are in the air I'm breathing in. Here's where the dead things come back to living, and I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living, I feel my heart beating again. Here's where the dead things come back to living, and I feel my heart beating again. Feels so good to know you are my friend. Feels so